This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Instead of sending used political signs to the landfill, there's an organization in central West Virginia that wants to repurpose them. Kids in Barber County are turning the signs into an anti-litter campaign, Glennis Board reports.
Rustin Seaman is the president of New Vision Renewable Energy. He visited Philippi Elementary in Barber County this week to talk with students about post-political sign season.
What do you do with stuff that you no longer want?
Throw it away.
Throw it away. And where did that go?
In the dumpster.
Did it just in the dumpster, and then where does it go?
The dump.
And then the burp.
There you go. Everybody say the dump.
The dump.
So in our county, there might be lots of these signs that go in the dump. How long does plastic stay in the dump?
Students there plan to paint angry bird signs with anti-litter messaging to place around the county.
And part of the mission of New Vision is to re-energize communities, and doing that without budget dollars is sometimes pretty challenging. So we always try and repurpose materials that are either going into landfills, wasted, or sitting unutilized.
New Vision also uses political signs as a drywall substitute in community recreational spaces and to make solar lights. The lights are sent to communities around the world with low or no access to electricity. In recent years, about 2,800 political signs have been used in 3,900 lights sent to about 40 different countries.
And the great news is Republicans and Democrats are working together to bring light to the world.
Seaman says he gets some signs from politicians in Barber County, but the bulk come from other states. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glennis Board in Wheeling.
Robert Rupp is a professor who teaches political science and history at West Virginia Wesleyan College. He studied state politics for 30 years. Jesse Wright spoke to him about the results of Tuesday's primary election and what they might mean for the general election in November.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Rob. Did anything about Tuesday night's results surprise you?
Well, not really. What we're talking about here is increased turnout, but that's not surprising because this election has not only received great attention within West Virginia, but it's gained national attraction in terms of, the outside is trying to look in. And really, in a sense, Jesse, what I found unusual wasn't the attraction of the West Virginia primary, but rather the interference by outsiders in this primary. You had the Washington Democrats launch a negative campaign against the Republican candidate Evan Jenkins. You had the Republicans in Washington, led by Mitch, and then the president's son, and then the president himself intervened in this by telling the voters to vote against Blankenship and for either one of the two. I haven't seen this much interaction between a president and a primary. I have to go back to FDR to see this kind of interaction. So we're the center of attention, but we're also the center of action.
No, it was interesting to see the flurry of activity in the run-up to the election. Do you see that national attention playing out in any other way for the general election in November?
Well, just in the straight idea that our current Senator Joe Manchin has a large target on his back. He's seen as one of the most vulnerable Democrats in the nation trying to run for re-election in a state that overwhelmingly supported Trump. So what we're going to see, Jesse, is a very skilled politician with a Democratic label try to navigate himself to re-election when so many things seem to be going against him.
I did note that Manchin's challenger, Paula Jean Swearengin, got about 30% of the vote. Does that surprise you in any way? I mean, obviously he won handily, but what do you think that says about the politics going on in West Virginia right now?
I think both parties are in serious trouble. And if the Democrats try to lean more left to try to get those protest votes against Manchin, then he's going to lose them on the right. In the same way that if Morrissey tries to go far right, he's going to lose the middle. Really, Jesse, what we're seeing here is that really the most in probably two generations, both parties are deeply divided. And we saw this in this crowded primary with a range of ideological viewpoints.
So one thing, West Virginia specific, of course now it's spreading to other states, was the teacher strike. The proximity to the primary in the end of that strike during the legislative session seemed to play into the results of the polls, at least what myself and the other reporters in our newsroom saw in talking to people who are coming out of voting. And then we saw it show up in numbers, in a sense. The race for the U.S. House 3rd District, Richard Ojeda won that Democratic primary handily. I mean, you could almost call it a landslide. One other place that it showed up was in your backyard, in the 11th District West Virginia Senate race in the GOP primary, where Robert Carnes lost by quite a large margin to Bill Hamilton. Do you think that Carnes underestimated the effect that the strike would have on the race?
Yes, I do. And not only did he underestimate it, he ridiculed it. I think he called it a speed bump that won't last. I misjudge of the character of this, and it's a very unique phenomenon to have the teachers together organize with all 55 school boards across the state. We have to acknowledge that the teachers are going to be a factor in this election, and we've already seen it, where it's one of its teachers' number one critics, Robert Carnes, was defeated by a supporter, Bill Hamilton. And as you pointed out, in the 3rd District, we have a charismatic candidate who is in part gained attention by championing openly the cause of the teachers. We've seen a new element that has not existed in West Virginia politics in the past generation, and we'll see how it plays out in November.
Yeah, and specifically about November, I mean, I guess I'm not surprised, again, in that proximity between the legislative session having wrapped up relatively recently and then the primaries. Do you think that effect will last into November and show up at the polls come the general election?
Well, it didn't. When organized labor tried that slogan of remember in November, and most people forgot it, I think this is different because this is organic. This is from the bottom up, and we're talking about teachers are suddenly mobilizing on a scale that we had not seen before across the state in all 55 counties, and I think that's a factor that has not been present in past politics in West Virginia, and we have to see how it plays out this year.
Well, Rob Rupp, I really appreciate you taking the time and speaking with us and helping us sort out some of these threads that got a little bit tangled before the primary and giving us a good view of what's to come.
Let's hope the listeners will end up with a better tapestry as we try to understand West Virginia politics.
That was News Director Jesse Wright speaking with Professor Robert Rupp, a political analyst and teacher at West Virginia Wesleyan College. On the latest podcast episode of Inside Appalachia, we hear from several young students in Appalachian North Carolina about what it's like to live in the mountains. These pieces were crafted during a summer program of the Partnership for Appalachian Girls Education for girls in grades 6 through 9. The youths in the program worked with facilitators to write, edit, and voice digital stories that say something about their lives. This morning, we'll hear from 6th grader Presley Harwood. Presley lives in Marshall, a small town north of Asheville that sits on the edge of the Pisgah National Forest.
Daddy raises the passenger seat up so I can see out the front window, and we lip sing to the radio. Sometimes he cuts up, and then I cut up too. I can tell him anything, like the time I had a fight with my best friend Lainey. He said, "I'm sorry, honey, I hope you and Lainey work it out." And we sat on the steps going down to the Sunday school and talked it out. Sometimes when they're loading the produce in his semi, we sit in the back and play Best Fiends on his phone. That's the room we sleep in, and it's kind of our living room, too. It has brownish carpet, really comfortable bunk beds, and a fridge where we keep sandwich meat, cold drinks, and sometimes cheesecake. We keep the bread and fruit on top of a cabinet for easy access. There's even a TV back there where we watch movies. Last time I brought Marmaduke, Finding Nemo, Monsters vs. Aliens, and a few more. One time my daddy left me in one of the shower rooms right across from his at a fancy truck stop in Amarillo. He said, "Deadbolt the door. If anyone bothers you, scream bloody murder and I'll come out and kill someone." I do girl things with my mama, but when I'm with my daddy, I get to see all sorts of new places. In March, we drove through North Carolina and Tennessee over a big bridge with the Mississippi River flowing under it. That's something I don't get to see every day. Then we hit Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and finally Nevada. My mom likes it that I go on the road with my daddy. She said I should try to see everything I can before I get a job someday and can't just go. No matter how far I go, I'll always come back home.
That was Presley Harwood, who lives in Marshall, North Carolina. She produced that story last year with the help from PAGE, Partnership for Appalachian Girls Education, a program affiliated with Duke University. Her piece originally aired on WUNC. The seeds of our Song of the Week were sown from a tune that Los Angeles area musician Joaquin Cooter would sing to his houseplant. Here he is performing Fuchsia Machu Picchu live on Mountain Stage. Hear Joaquin Cooter's set plus performances by M. Ward, the Sea, and more on this week's broadcast of Mountain Stage, starting tonight and tomorrow night at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Molly Bourne, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.